Benedict D'Souza, Reel 14.
The difference in each morning.
On the same night, we all have a little outside.
And, well, that's what we did. And finally, when the house was built, we had a little housewarming amongst certain people, you see. Look, before that, we did have one or two very kind, generous Christian people who said, hey, you need a helping hand, call us. Oh, sure, yes. And then we...
Session number 329, Mr. Benedict D'Souza, Reel 14.
Yes, you were saying about this mutual help given, you know, from the Christian people?
Well, I mean, when I mean Christian, real Christian-hearted, you know, they go out of the way, Bengong, you need any help, call me. Of course, some were sickly, some were not, but we had a good crowd there. And we did take advantage of their help, and maybe, and these were the people who we did call for a little housewarming. But our housewarming meant, you bring your rice, because that was something very, very difficult to obtain there. It was costly, and costly or difficult to obtain. And yes, that was that.
And I assume that before you built your house and clear your land, you were still living in the communal huts?
No. We were... yes, partly... for the pathfinding, we were staying in those communal huts. But gradually, we went down to... there's another chap in Leicester, I think. Andrew Leicester was staying in one of the huts down below the hill. And that's right, it was Andrew Leicester, there's two French boys, Oscar, Andrew, Albert and I. We stayed together, and from there we built our own house. We built it on Oscar's land. Oscar Campbell, because he said, since it's so close to mine, and you might as well build it there, and we can share the tilling.
Oh, so that piece of land was not yours?
No.
It belongs to Oscar?
Belongs to Oscar Campbell.
And what about your own land?
Mine was very close by to Oscar's. And you can say it was neglected, but not completely. Because as I said, all you have to do is strew nuts on the ground, and it grow by itself. Same with our tapioca and a few other things, which it grow by itself. That didn't need any care, or you know, tilling and things like that. So once in a way, we used to go across and see. Hey, how is Ben's faring? Okay, we take up the peanuts. They were not very good. Out of the one pailful, we'll get about 50% good peanuts. And we used to dry it, pound it, eat it plain like that, or roast it, and that's all. But our tapioca was really... in abundance. We had too much of that. And we naturally, with anybody, get fed up of eating it.
What about your mother and your sister?
My mother and my sister were staying with in another block, another lot, not very far away. And they asked to come down because of health. So they came down. So we were all alone. I mean, I was the only one there.
Only one with?
The only one in the family.
Mm-hmm. And your mother and sister did not
remain
clear the
end.
Land?
No.
Or they came back to
they
Singapore?
Came back.
I see. Mm-hmm. And when you had to clear the land and build the house, where did you get your tools and
other things? I went up without anything. But we had some from our the people who were there, like Oscar Wahlberg had his own, and we used to borrow and return and look after them. Suppose I use your axe, we used to make sure that we return your axe in one piece as well as sharpened and clean. And they used to do likewise if they borrowed ours.
There was no tools or whatsoever provided by the committee?
As far as I know, no. But they might have in the first three or four batches, maybe they were given that, because they went out without anything. See, these people were... They formed a committee before going up, so I suppose the committee must have asked for this and they must have had it. Ratified once too, I don't know.
So among four of you, each one has been allocated a piece of land, but not all of you cultivated your land. It was mostly Oscar's.
Mostly Oscar's, yes. The Clark's land was not very far away from us, and we should just go and have a look at it and see what was there. Any kangkong growing, any sweet potato growing, anything else like that, just pick it up and bring it back. It's pointless, you see, I mean, being in our state, because we used to go down at least once a week with malaria, with the raggers. And it meant, we get it in the morning, well, it meant no work for that day for you. You will have to be there at least 2 or 3 hours, and when you get up, you feel like 10 sheets in the wind. You don't want to do anything else. You'll be lifeless. It's only towards, after 6 or 7 hours, you get an appetite. Then you gain your strength, and next day you're back to the land again. If we didn't do that, we'd be dead, you know. Many people died because of that. They just given to their sickness, just succumbed to their sicknesses, malaria, and you know, deteriorated, thinking to themselves, oh, there's no point, I'm gonna get sick. They never made any attempt. There was one day that I was very, very, very sick. So they thought I was going to die. Some of my friends, before they came down to Singapore, used to come to the same measure. Mm-hmm. So, but I was awake, you see. Mm. 6 feet. They were measuring me, you know. What should we give them? Boxwood or plywood? Boxwood would do, man. I could take jokes. I can take a lot of jokes. I must make sure you take my jokes. Anyway, we were a nice gang of us. And when I got back, I went to work. The very next morning, at 6 o'clock, and all Oscar and hey Ben, take it easy. No, I want to do something. And I worked. And you see, when you work, you get an appetite. You get an appetite, you eat anything, even if it's tapioca, which I didn't like. And when you eat, of course you get your strength. When you get your strength, you can live. You can do other things. And the four of us did that. We were down. If you were down, we'd cover you with all our blankets. Even that wouldn't be enough. You still, because it's internal. And that's how we live.
So I presume every settler in Bahau will be given a piece of land, but whether you would like to work on it or not is up to the individual.
It was up to the individual.
And you could even sort of team up to just work on a piece of land, am I right?
Yeah. But we did it. Others, I know a few others did do it. Like, did you interview anybody by the name of Chopat? He's well known now in Sana, you know. Joe Chopard. JoeChopard. He and his brother Francis. And one Mr. Rabo. Mr. Douglas Rabo. R-A-B-O-T. Douglas Rabo. Well, we were clique, man. We were a real good clique. I go to your house, you come to my house. You know, take turns. to till the land. You make your tea, I make my tea on my day, or whatever it is. And pass the time off, you see, pass the day. So you know, you know that you've done something for that day. When it's going to sprout, only God will know. But we did have our little kangkongs and what have you. And
so in terms of food, they might not be have too much problem. But what about other necessities? Like you mentioned tea, probably sugar and other things.
Yeah. We used to go down to Bahau town. We were in Bahau village. Eh? It was about 5 or 6 miles. And we used to cycle or walk Bahau town and buy our provisions. And how we got the money was Albert Chuck was the inspector of anti-malarial department. In Singapore, I was doing that before I went up. He was inspector. When I went up there, of course, all of Mr. Fred, he was very young. From Singapore came up, knew our flight there, so he came up to organize. And my name was on the board. Actually, I had to help. Then Oscar joined in, and Albert and Andrew joined in. So the four of us were, as we call, working in the anti-malaria department. We are called oilers, because we carry a big, huge tank on our back and go around oiling the areas where we found water. Yeah, this particular on top. Worked as in the anti-malaria department. We can call it the health department, and we were paid. Of course, Albert, being an inspector, had more than I, and we used to be paid fortnightly, and we used to get our rations, some sort of rations fortnightly, including tiger balm. I don't know. I still hate it, and we used to get sugar, salt, rice. And things like that. So you just imagine, four of us, we had ample rations. I cannot remember whether we had it fortnightly or monthly. Well, I know our pay was fortnightly. So we used to go down to Bahau town and buy whatever we required and bring it back.
Who paid you the salary?
The government of Negeri Sembilan.
What was it got to do with the Sembilan government?
Because Bahau comes under Negeri Sembilan. That's the only one I know. I wouldn't know anything else.
Did you sell any of your products?
No. We either consumed it ourselves or gave it away if anybody wanted it.
So your income from working in the anti-malaria department could support you for the month?
Yes, we had to, except for the rice.
So how did you solve that problem?
Well, you know, we can't eat rice. Every time we have to make mui. And in the mui, we used to put in anything we could think of.
You mean porridge?
Porridge. And, well, if rice could last us 1 hour, porridge would last us only half an hour. But we were content. And we could eat. Because we didn't have anything substantial. The meat there was undernourished cows, you know, that they were supplying us. You see, we used to get buffalo meat sometimes, and we never smelled fish at all, not even tin fish. So we used to try our best to make ends meet, or we at home, but the tea, we'll boil up some tapioca, eat it with sugar, or make some sort of dish. Just to pacify us, maybe for half an hour.
So, how was your health conditions like while you were in Bahau?
Well, as I told you initially, in the first month I really had it very bad, and then, you know, we sort of got attuned to it, got acclimatized to it. We were getting less and less of these rigors, and we were also being fed with the tablets called Mepocrin, which it's not a cure for malaria, but oh, I can't get the word now. Yeah. Anyway, I might get a word later. We finally did away with it, or we took less of this service called Mepocrin, because we were turning yellow. And to overcome that, the only way was to eat something more solid than just vegetables, and that meant eating meats, or we just fight against it. And I think eventually we just, by doing that, we got rid of it. We stopped taking Mepocrin. That's why we four fellas never turn yellow. Well, not that yellow, you know. Like on Thai Pusama, or like the Buddhists wear, that sort of yellow. It was horrible, you know, eyes turn yellow, everything.
But that could stop malaria.
No, it couldn't stop. It's just, the word is coming now. It's just to keep it at bay. You will still get your rigors, but, and then again, we were told not to bathe, but who can go without bathing? So we had to bathe, and sometimes after a bath, we find it coming down again. Sometimes it will be for just a while, maybe half an hour, 1 hour. But when you get it badly, it can be 2-3 hours with all the blankets on us. Sometimes you're lucky if we don't get it for 2 weeks. Depends on how much your body could take, you see, and fight against it. And we were fighters. As I told you, we didn't fight, we never built a house. And we wouldn't have survived. People like Wallace and all that, Rabo and Chopard, they really fought. We had to walk up quite a lot to the hill for whatever we wanted, and in a course of our work. But that was exercise, that was building up our craving to eat. Otherwise, you'll just be hungry, but it's not that kind of hunger, you know what, you know, after you come back from a hard day's work. I bet you go back in the evening, you're dying to eat because you've been working.
So, in your case, was there anywhere that you can get some nutritious food? Occasionally, I mean?
Yes, we used to go down to Bahau town, buy the meats, come back, we used to cook it, eat it there and then, after eating in town, and store it up. You see, roast it the best we could, or fry it, and keep it. It never lasted long. Never lasted long, because we were just hungry wolves. And then there was Malay man, he was a postman. He and his wife started selling food. Then one Mrs. Goh, I never see her picture advertised in this in memoriam column, how I get hungry, and I always think of what a lovely lady she was. She used to treat us like her children. And she opened up a kind of a canteen, eating house.
In Bahau?
In Bahau. And, well, I don't know where she got it from, but we used to go there and eat whatever, if we had the money. Sometimes our money went short too, you know. So, well, that sort of kept us going. Ah, Sorry, Oscar read poetry. Pigs and a goose or a gander, I don't know, one of them. And the gander, I think it was a goose, used to be our bodyguard against snakes, because they can smell a snake miles away. When they make a noise in the middle of the night, well, first we can always allude it to snakes, second to a human being. But nobody wants, we didn't have any robberies or thefts down there. Mm-hmm. He read good breed ones, you know, not the local ones, like Leghorns and things like that. And they were really massive. And we had one litter of piglings. And we got rid of the female pig, the sow, I think. And that helped us, in one season, it helped us to keep ourselves going. And then again, could be off the record, but anybody's poetry came into our compound and nobody claimed it in one day, well, it became ours.
I see.
And vice versa, if I was straight there, we were quite deep in, you see, so it's okay. And we used to go to town and buy some local breeds and bring it back, ride it, and he had a very watchful eye, you know, one look at it and then put it on one side, catch it, put it one side, one is sick, next week let it go. Then Andrew say, yeah man, I think you better go now, things like that. But anyway, we got going ourselves, you see, and that way we survived. We did go hungry many nights.
And coming to your working in the anti-malaria department, what actually did you do in this department?
Well, we were called oilers, which meant we had to carry a big, heavy steel tank on our backs, and we had to pull it, press it down, and our left hand used to guide the tube, the pipe, that we bring out the oil, you see, in a spray, and we just spray certain areas where we found that the water was stagnant. If it was moving, we just spray a little bit. That was mostly our. And if you want to know more of it, I'll give you the address later of one nun who, up to now, she sees me, where's my boyfriend, the man who saved our lives. We used to oil, we were staying near the corner, that was our area. We used to oil the area very well, you see. And she never forgets me, the oily man, she calls me. But actually, all of us did our job. And her name is Sister Columba. I always forget what order they belong. And that was all we did. We didn't do any hacking unless we found it was the place could have a little drain leading to another outlet. The stagnant water was not too cumbersome for us. We used to chunkle it and make a little drain for the water to go through, and that less work for us later on. There won't be any more stagnant water. That was all. And then if we did find anything, Albert was an expert. He could point out a certain area, we'll take a little sample and go back and under the microscope and see whether it's dangerous or not. That's all.
So who actually supported your unit?
The health department from Negeri Sembilan.
So that has nothing to do with the Shonan Tuku Batu Sea?
No.
And how many were there working in this anti-malaria department?
There were the four of us. I can't remember it. I'll have to get hold of Albert. I think there was just the four of us. The others dropped out. They didn't want it, or they were lazy to do the job. Look, you're getting paid for it. What's the harm in doing something? That's why I thank God that I'm not lazy. Although I start top work on the 31st, I've been working like mad in the house. All this, always cleaning up, doing something and all that. And I confirmed it. I think we were the only four doing the whole of that area. We were Mukim 5. Now, Mukim 6 was the Chinese section. They called it the Chinese section there. They had their own. Unless they were in a bit of a fix, then we used to walk there and look up for any larvae or whatever. But apart from that, we were just the four of us.
So was your work very difficult?
In this sense only, that it was unbearable, the weight on our back, after a bout of malaria. And after a rainy night, it meant that we had to be extra careful jumping over things and all that, carrying, you know, jumping over ravines, small little drains. And but we did have falls once in a way, not badly damaged. And even if it was difficult, we found it interesting. And we did it in an interesting manner. With Albert, the youngest of us there, he was our boss even at home, looked after the rations. So he used to keep it under lock and key, because we used to eat in the middle of the night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning and things like that. So it was not difficult. Just look, if you wanted to do it, you do it. If you felt tired, you took a rest, that's all.
But say going through the jungles and, you know,
we got used to it.
Bushes and
we got used to it. Well, most of it, it concerned most of the areas where the people were already living, you see. So there was not much difficulty. It's just that we had to go through like where the convent was, and a little deeper perhaps. And if we did spot anything, it was okay. You see, what I did mention to you in the beginning was, you see, when we went up there, it was virgin jungle. They had cut it down and just felled the big trees and left it like that to rot, you see, if they could rot. And that's where the danger came in. When you clear virgin forest, if they can be called forests, you get this, the place is opened up and out come all the mosquitoes, you see. Whereas in the thick of the jungle, you get just maybe some other smaller insects which are harmless. But that's where we suffered. They didn't look after it. They didn't think of that, you see, in the beginning. It was a pity. There's a lot of people died. It wasn't that difficult.
So how frequent did you have to go out?
Every morning except Sunday. Every Saturday, well, I used to work only the first part, only half a day, you know. Unless it required something else, we used to carry on. But we finish our area, and it's still early, we do a bit more and call it a day. For all the bosses staying with us. And we did a good job, I mean.
So actually, the Bahau settlement of Mukim 5 is rather big, and how did you manage to, you know, to look after the place?
We used to map it out, and certain parts of Mukim 5 were not that heavily infected. And they used to cooperate in this way. One family gets a lot of mosquitoes, it could be the harmless ones. They might see us and say, "Hey Ben, can you have a look at our place tomorrow?" "Sure." But that's our job, and we wanted to help, and we like helping, so what? So you're going to have a look. It's okay, and we tell them, "Oh, you don't mind, can you dig a little drone to get that thing moving?" And they will do it. Unless, of course, we had a lot of lazy chaps. Very lazy. One thing I don't like in any person, laziness.
So initially, there was no such anti-malaria unit?
No, not for the first 3 months, let me say. I would say 3 or 4 months. There was nobody there.
After your, you...
After I arrived in Bahau. Match.
How was the atmosphere among these people, among all of you who were living for Bahau on that day?
Oh, it was great. Everybody was happy because we thought that we were going away from hardship to something less hard. Little did we know. And with that spirits and a lot of friends with them.